Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be here.
Amen.
You happy?
Amen.
Well, let's keep it that way.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to speak on the rapture cycle tonight. I'd like to read, we'll just start with reading from Psalms chapter 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. Psalm chapter 1, starting at the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, which is the word of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a law, friends. That's a promise. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It will come to an end. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together for this midweek service, Lord, it's with love in our hearts, it's with thanksgiving on our lips and praise. And Lord, we're in full anticipation that you're going to feed us from your word. We're asking you to, Lord, and we're expecting you to give us our daily bread, Lord, so that when we go out the doors, Lord, we'll be ready to face whatever comes our way. And Lord, we just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, those that are here, those that couldn't make it, those that are listening in. And Father, may you receive all honor and glory as we submit ourselves into your loving care. Father, may you anoint our thinking tonight. Father, may you take the words that we're hearing and teach it to us, Lord, and cause it to live, quicken it, and cause it to live in our lives. And we surely give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read from three other portions of Scripture before we launch off into our thought here tonight. I'd like to read from Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. So David said the same thing. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't sit in the seat of the scorner. Jeremiah says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought. Doesn't have to be worrisome, doesn't have to fret, doesn't have to, cut back on the water and try and conserve it. Shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I'd like to read from John, the 7th chapter, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him cometh unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Notice, not river, but rivers. That's a lot. Rivers. of living water. And then one more from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So about 12 years ago or so, we went for a walk after eating brunch on Christmas Day over at the Schuler's house. It's hard to believe that was 12 years ago, but I look in the mirror and I can believe it. Along with some friends and family, and you know, every good power grazer knows that a walk after the first round of eating is essential in order to keep breathing and also to position yourself properly for round two, which, you know, no holiday is complete without a round two. So we took a walk through the floodplain area near the Tanque Verde drainage. We were admiring the properties, the trees, the horses, and so forth. It was a lot of life there. And we crossed the road to go down another residential road, and we came across some huge trees, and we stopped to look up at them, and we were admiring these trees. And Brother Dutch told us that those trees were known by the common name of salt cedars, and that they grow where there's a lot of water because they're a thirsty tree, and they need a lot of water. He told us that it was a non-native tree species, and that it was called a salt cedar because it could live in alkali water, and it could pull the salt out of the water if it was in the water and then expend it through its needles. And then the needles would fall on the ground when the tree sheds, thereby salting the ground around it, assuring that little else would grow where the salt cedars grow. And so I looked up the salt cedar to learn more about it, and I found that it's also known by another name, that it's the tamarisk tree, and it's a native species of Asia, and it can tolerate harsh climates as long as it has water. And certainly we know that Arizona has got a lot of harsh climates, and I've seen them all the way up in Holbrook and other areas, you know, up in the northern part of the state and kind of deserty areas. And after digging a little deeper, I found out that the tree has been a subject of debate and also the object of wrath in the Southwest for about 60-plus years, with many looking at it as a water robber. And much money has been spent trying to eradicate that tree with the thinking that the water they consume will be available instead for the human race and for other purposes. And I read many interesting tidbits about the tree that we won't go into tonight for the sake of time, but one study really caught my attention. And in this study, the scientists were looking at not just at the tree, but they were looking at the entire ecosystem that the tree was residing in, and they discovered that the tree is not invading at all. They discovered that it grows only because preachers have dammed up the rivers. I mean, man has dammed up the rivers. So what the study demonstrated was that since the rivers had been dammed, the normal flooding of the riverbeds no longer occurs, thus causing a decline of the native tree population. And of course, in the Tanque Verde Valley there, the water table has dropped, and that's been, you know, once again, it's man's intervention. So in one experiment, they released floodwaters, and the cottonwood and other tree seeds that were lying on the ground that were waiting to be germinated, they germinated at a much higher rate than the salt cedar trees, and they began to grow in the areas where they were no longer growing. So I went and looked at other articles about planting and caring for trees, because we were in the season for tree planting and planting, and I was looking at planting some fruit trees on my property. I just looked. I never got past looking. The planting part, you know, there's no sweat, and it's kind of fun. It's kind of rewarding, but, you know, you need to have a little bit of sweat to go along with that, right? The Bible tells us that a believer in Christ is like a tree that's planted by rivers of life. And then we read where Jesus told us that the born-again believer would have that river of life within him or her, and those waters would flow out. So those waters would satisfy the believer, and they would satisfy others. So our subject for the next few minutes here tonight is the rapture cycle. And we believe, of course, that we're living in the rapture time of the Gentile church, and that many on the earth, perhaps tonight, will not taste death, but will be changed, as Paul said, in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And this rapture that the church has been looking for 2,000 years now, is in process actually right now. And it started when a bride was called out of the church under the call to a wedding supper. And she has received the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in her soul, which is her wedding garment. And she's feeding on a rapture message, but the rapture is already within her and is already working in her. And I hope to show you that before we close tonight. So everything that we have need of is now in us for the rapturing of the body. And the mystical body, we know, is made up of individuals, but within each individual who has been sealed by the Holy Ghost is the resurrection and the change of the body. It's already in you if you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. The elect seed of God came into this world with the seed that was deposited down on the inside, and it's just been waiting for the moisture, and it's been waiting for the word to quicken it and to cause it to begin to grow and to ultimately bring forth fruit. And Satan knows that, so Satan has caused teachings to rise up in this hour to instruct people to look for things externally for what is needed for the rapture. And that is what actually fuels many false doctrines that point to future events that are then necessary to give us what we're lacking for the rapture. And also it causes there to not be an expectation for it at any moment in time. And yet the rapture cycle is on as we speak. It lies within you. And you see evidence of it every time you experience divine healing. Every time divine healing is manifested in your body, it's speaking of a rapture. So we're going to look at, in a few minutes, what our message tells us about the rapture. And I'm just going to tell you tonight that our message is a rapture message. There's no other church age that was going to be rapture. They were looking forward to the rapture and the coming of the Lord, of course, as they have in every age, including Paul's age, but they were not told by the word of the Lord, you will be raptured in this age, or this is the end, or this is the rapture age. They were looking towards it. They were believing and in expectation, but we've been told in our message that we're living in the rapture age. So, but first I want to just share a few things that I discovered about tree planting, because I didn't know much about it, and I was looking into it because, like I said, I was going to plant some trees, and maybe I will someday. First of all, we know that a tree starts with a seed, right? I mean, that's pretty elementary, but there's always got to be a seed first. And we know that everything that that tree will ever be is already programmed into that seed, right? There's no need to inject something into that seed because it's lacking something, because who the seed is has already been predetermined. It's already in that seed. Whatever that seed is ever going to be is in the seed. A tomato seed doesn't have to try to produce a tomato plant. It just produces a tomato plant. It doesn't have to try to manufacture tomatoes. It produces tomatoes because that's what's programmed in it to do. Bring forth after its own kind, which is a law of God. It just needs to be germinated. It just needs to then be planted to, or planted and germinated, watered, fed, and it will naturally bring forth after its own kind. Brother Branham tells us about a bride tree that was eaten down to the roots, speaking of the Christian church, the true church. It was eaten down to the roots, and of course God promised to restore in the last days what was eaten down according to Joel chapter 2. And the elect of God, of course, make up that bride tree. And since the rapture lies within that bride tree, well, then we can safely say that the rapture cycle is not something that's external to the tree. It's in the tree. Are you with me so far? And it's not some sort of a cycle that we're going to ride around on. It's not that kind of cycle. It's something that starts from within you. But it has to go through a process in order to bring it to full manifestation. And that's, we are all living here for a purpose. We are growing, we are maturing, and what is in us is being made manifest. So in looking at tree planting, I found that there were tried and true instructions that cover the entire life cycle of the tree from planting all the way to the time of the harvest. And most of the articles that I read started out with some general planning and stressed the importance of choosing the right plan and planting the right seed according to what it was that you were wanting, and then sticking with the plan. And questions were asked that a person that's making out a plan should ask, such as, how much fruit do you want? Are you planting this because you want fruit? Well, how much fruit? And do you want quick fruit? If you want quick fruit, then you'll want to plant a dwarf plant. It's shorter lived, but it will be faster at producing a plant, right? If you plant it from a seed, Brother Merritt gave us an orange tree and a grapefruit tree. And the orange tree, he started from a seed. And we planted that, and I think about 8 years later, it started producing oranges. Well, that's normal. But now it's a huge tree. And now it's providing shade to that part of our house. And whereas the grapefruit tree, it was already producing fruit when he gave it to us. And I believe it's a dwarf grapefruit tree. It's never grown very big, but it was already producing fruit. So when you're going to plant a tree, you need to figure out, why am I planting this tree? And that will determine what kind of a seed that you select, or whether you do a grafting, or whether you start with something that's already growing. And then the basics were laid out, such as the importance of, all the different things that are important for success. And then they pointed out that many planters find that their tree fails to grow because they don't first recognize that it's a long-term commitment, or because they just won't follow the instructions. They maybe just go stick it in the ground and forget about it, and then wonder why it doesn't grow, why it doesn't thrive. So after choosing what seed to plant, after answering questions about what you're striving for, such as, you know, I'm planting it because I want fruit, or I'm planting it because I want shade, or you know, the here in Arizona, like the mesquite tree, its roots can go down 150 feet in search of water. And that water is so important because it pulls that water up. Of course, we know that it needs that water for the photosynthesis and to pull up the nutrients and all that, but just as importantly, it keeps the plant cool because the water evaporates from the leaves, and so it keeps the plant cool, keeps the leaves from burning up. Well, it also cools down the area where that tree's at, so maybe you want to plant a tree because you're trying to cool down the temperature around your property. If the ground is not properly prepared, well, then the roots will not be established, and the seed or plant will not grow or thrive as you want it to. So it's important to prepare the soil for the nutrients and for the drainage and for the right pH, whether it's acidic or alkaline. And the soil is where your faith is anchored in the Word as a type. We are planted in Christ the Word. So the ground has to be broke up and the plant must be buried in Christ. You don't want to bury it too deep. You don't want to bury it too shallow. You don't want to cover up the root ball, I guess, if you could avoid that. And then the waters of life need to be able to flow freely and not to pond up, which can cause the roots to rot if you aren't careful with that. And then after you plant the tree, well, then a schedule of proper watering must follow. In the planting time, there must be ample amounts of water. The seed must never be allowed to dry out if you planted it as a seed right into the ground. And then the watering progressively moves out from close into the plant to out where the branches are extending to. And then fertilizer, of course, is generally needed, but only at certain times and only in certain amounts. Too much is not good. Pruning is necessary, and it must be done skillfully to produce the right amount of fruit and to ensure the health of the tree. So there's just a lot of factors involved there. And then there's the mulch that's placed around the tree to protect it and to hold in the moisture. And this mulch is the prayer life of the tree, if you will. It keeps the tree from freezing. It keeps the tree from drying out. It causes the tree to look better. It keeps out the weeds that try to grow around the base of the tree that would compete for the water. And the mulch protects the preacher. I mean, it protects the trimmer from getting damaged. You know, you go in there with the trimmer, and if there's mulch there, you're not going to be hitting rocks and things like that, right? If your prayer life is where it belongs, the preacher won't get injured when he's trying to go after your weeds. The mulch has to be prepared in a certain way. It's made out of organic material in general. In other words, it's born out of life's experiences. And organic mulch must have moisture to cause it to break down. So there has to be some tears that go along with your prayer life. It must be turned over periodically. In other words, your prayer life is not vain repetition, but it has to be kept in motion. It's fermenting, which is a type of the fervency of our prayer. And you want to make sure that your prayer life is weed-free. So your old ideas in your prayer life won't work. And your old approaches and your old thought processes. And your prayer is to protect the tree seed, not to protect other seeds, but to protect that particular tree seed. It's not a name it and claim it kind of a prayer life, but it's very specific. So the mulch, if it's not rotated, well, then you end up with something that's called sour mulch. And sour mulch, it smells funny, and it will actually kill the tree. Rather than providing nutrients to the tree, it will rob the tree of nutrients, and it'll kill the tree. It gets sour when it's not rotated. A sour prayer life produces sour Christians who end up dying instead of prospering. And the absence of mulch results in a tree that dries out or requires a lot more water to keep it in revival. And the same thing is true about a churchgoer that doesn't have a prayer life. It's going to dry out pretty quick. And it's going to take a lot more water to keep it in revival. It will not survive a drought. Without a prayer life, you won't survive a drought. And the coldness of the world will kill it or set back its growth a season or two at a time. So once we're quickened by the Holy Spirit, we have growing within us what we need. And we have growing within us in this age, in this hour, faith for a rapture. In the believer is healing. How many knows that? When you pray for healing, where does that healing come from? It's already in you. The river of God's blessings reside in the believer. So when we need healing, we might need somebody to join their faith with ours to lift our faith up to the proper level so that the healing that's already within us is activated. But the healing is already within you. How many knows that's true? Absolutely, it's true. I don't need to travel somewhere else to find my healing. My healing is already within me. I need it released within me with faith or by faith. Well, the same thing is true with the rapture. Rapturing faith is not something that will be found on a missing tape someday. It won't be that magic sermon that's preached by brother so-and-so or by the pastor. For those that have the Holy Ghost in their soul, rapturing faith resides within them tonight. And certainly it will rise to a greater height. But it's already there. And God will operate it one day. For the elect of God, the rapture isn't a future event. But it's a cycle that's within you. The rapture is actually a process. It's a building and a releasing. It's a drinking and a pushing. And one day, with one final push, you'll push into a new body. But we must see that the present tense Messiah is in you now. Friends, if those that died in Christ will come up, what's in them is already in them to come up. The difference between you and those that are dead in Christ is that you're alive. But it has to be in them just as it has to be in you. And we're waiting for the voice. We're waiting to hear that voice. We're waiting for the master to call and to quicken that and to bring it into motion. It won't be you operating it or me operating it. It'll be him operating it. But it has to be in you and living. So we must have the present tense Messiah in us now. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Messiah living within you. So in the message, show us the Father, Brother Ram said, and look, the only thing that God does is plant you in Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost, and then everything that you have need of in this earth's journey is in you when you receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. The only thing you have to do is draw and push out. So you've got to take in and push out. You're planted in Christ. You're planted in the Word, you're drinking from that water, you're drawing it, and then you push out. The only thing you have to do is draw and push out. That's what a tree does. It draws what it needs, and then it pushes out. The branches grow, the leaves grow, and eventually it pushes out the fruit. The only thing you have to do is draw and push out. I tell you, what's the matter with the Christian tonight? You're not drawing dividends on your baptism of the Holy Ghost. Draw in and drink and drink and drink and drink until you push out salvation, until you push out divine healing, until you push out the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just drink, 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 and you're planted in the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Jesus Christ. He that's thirsty, let him drink. Let him that heareth say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountains of water of life freely. Amen. So think about it. You draw it out like you would from water from a well, only this well never runs dry. This is an inexhaustible river of water that you cannot, there's no way that you could exhaust this supply. The Holy Ghost is your personal ID code, if you will, that entitles you to what has been deposited in heaven for you. And then you declare, let what has been deposited in heaven for me, be it unto me as it is in heaven here on the earth. So it's not a savings account, but it's a checking account. You're not saving it up for something. You're using it for what you have need of. So when you ask for prayer for healing, for instance, where does that healing come from? Is it beamed down from somewhere? Or is it carried to you on angels' wings? It's within you. And your faith releases it to you by the Holy Ghost. And every time that you're healed, you experience a temporary body change. The rapture of your body is going to be a complete physical change of your body. Right? So divine healing is a partial healing of your body. Right? It's a down payment, if you will, on the body change. And it's something that we should be exercising. When these things come our way, we need to recognize every time something comes our way, we're not looking, you know, I can't wait to get sick again. No, but when these things do come our way, it is an opportunity for God to manifest his healing in your body. And what that does is that builds that faith that's already laying there. It builds that rapturing faith that's already laying there for the complete change of your body. So every time you're healed, you experience a temporary body change. Your body is healed. And the healing was released from within. Even science will tell you that the healing that takes place in your body comes from within your body. Many times when we join faith with another faith-filled believer, I can feel something taking place when that power, those two powers come together from both ends. I can sense the virtue flowing out, and you know right then that healing is going to take place. You know right then that deliverance is going to take place. Whatever it might be, something is taking place. And we know that it's a process, and we know that it requires faith, and we know that it's something that you can't believe and then doubt, then believe, then doubt, and then try and look at it. It's something that you accept, you believe, you confess, and it takes place. So Satan doesn't want us to recognize that it's something that's already within us. Instead, he wants us to focus on some herb that was discovered in the jungles of Borneo or some treatment that you can apply to the bottom of your feet to clean your blood or, you know, nothing against natural remedies. We're not, we know that there are things that can help, that can aid, but the best remedy for you is from your pharmacy that's within you. You need to draw on it and let your faith release it to you. You know, we're going through a sick season right now, right? It's just wave after wave after wave and going through the body. This is a good time. This is a good opportunity to put this into practice. And the church says? I mean, what's the alternative? That we just all get down the molly grubs and complain and feel sorry for ourselves and quit? Or do we face this and say, devil, you're not winning nothing. By his stripes, I'm still healed. Again, from the position of a believer in Christ, he says, and the tree is planted in Christ Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of life, and in everything that a believer has to do after he's placed in Christ Jesus, everything he has need of in this earthly journey is given to him when he's placed in Christ. Friends, it comes from Christ. Everything is given to him when he's placed in Christ. And all he has to do is drink and drink and push out. And drink till every fruit of the Spirit, every gift of the Spirit, everything that's in Christ Jesus that belongs to you will be in you for the entire journey. Not supposed to go get the tree first. Go get the tree, dig it up somewhere. Get the smallest tree. That's a young babe in Christ. Set it by the fountain of water, the inexhaustible life of Christ. Then you're positionally placed in Christ. And when you're in Christ by the Holy Spirit, then all these qualities of the Holy Spirit live in you. When the children of Israel, as we'll look again on Sunday, when the children of Israel crossed over into the land, that's a type of the believer being baptized in the Holy Ghost and going into your inheritance. When they went into the land, everything they needed was in the land. Right? It wasn't shipped over. It wasn't flown over by airplane. It didn't come by camel train. It was in the land. But they had to take possession of it. Is that right? Everything for my journey is in me and is quickened in me by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's not manifested completely from day one, but it's manifested to me over time. The Spirit of God releases to you what's already in you, including revelation. Death is already under your feet. You say, well, then why am I dying? Sure, this body continues toward the grave, but something in me will take me into a new body. In the meantime, there's something in me that's going to heal me when I need healing. Again, in blind Bartimaeus, that's the way a Christian is. When you're planted in Christ, the only thing you have to do is go to drinking. It gets its vitamin out of the water. And the Christian gets his vitamin from the Word. As Andy was suggesting here tonight, get on a program of listening to the Word. Something that you're going to stick with. You will benefit from it. That's your source. It gets its vitamin out of the water, and the Christian gets his vitamin from the Word. Then you drink more, you spread out, you push out salvation. You have to drink in salvation first, then you push it out. You push out through the Holy Spirit, push out till that crippled arm becomes straight. Just keep drinking. Drink, planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life. Jesus Christ is inexhaustible fountain of life. Drink till you can't drink no more. Drink, listen to this. Drink until you become drunken. And until you forget all your theology. And you believe God. Drink till you're well. What a concept. And then just keep on drinking. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. I think we need some more drunks in the church, don't you? When a man gets drunk, his thinking changes. When a man gets drunk, he drops his inhibitions. He's not worried about what other people are going to think. He's not worried about what he's thinking. He does things that he wouldn't have previously done. Friends, we can get drunk on so many of the things in this age, but we need to get drunk on the Holy Ghost water. We need to get drunk on the message of the hour. It will, friends, revelation means more to the true believer than anything. Well, when that revelation breaks on you, it stimulates. There's a stimulation that comes with that revelation. And the stimulation that comes is a type of the stimulation that comes when you drink wine. Right? It lifts you up. You feel better. You've got hope. You've got faith. You want to drink some more. And that kind of drinking is okay. That kind of drinking there's no law against. That kind of drinking won't cause you to feel sorry the next day for what you did the day before. That kind of drinking will cause you to tell the truth, but you won't be embarrassed about it the next day. No one will have to push you into going to church. If you're drinking that new wine, if you're receiving that revelation, you can't wait to get to church because you're getting something out of it. Now, it might be a slow process for it all to manifest, or it might be a miracle. But whatever it is, I don't care how slow it is. I don't care how quick it is. I have a promise. And in God's time, if I keep drinking, I will keep pushing out. And eventually, what I'm praying for, what I'm waiting for, what I'm believing for, will manifest. Because that's what I'm feeding on. Again, in the message Abraham, he says, we are planted in Christ Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of life, and we just drink and push and drink. Everything that we need when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, every healing, everything that we have need of in life's journey is given to us right then. It's all your personal property. Just drink. That's all. Look and live. That's all. Then you can easily see the resurrection, can't you? Well, I can't see it. Well, you're probably not drinking, right? But if you drink, you will see it. Friends, the book that was closed, that was sealed up with seven seals, it's no longer closed. It's no longer sealed. It's no longer in the hands of the Lamb. It's no longer in the hands of the messenger. It's in your hands tonight. And your hands, your faith is what puts it into action. Again, from another message, he says, we're planted together in Christ Jesus, who is the inexhaustible fountain of life. We're planted in Christ, and we just drink and drink and drink and push out in everything we have need of for the earthly journey, divine healing, the power of God. All these other things is in every individual. Somebody say every. Every individual. Every individual. In every individual in here that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For you're planted in Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost baptism. Yes, sir. And everything you have need of for this life's journey. Shall we close? Can I read on? Even the rapture is right in you then. We thought you were making this up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe it now. Because there's a quote. You knew I was going to give you one. The rapture is in you. When you were sealed by the Holy Ghost, the rapture was in you right then. Enoch had the rapture in him already. He didn't received the rapture somewhere. He was in a rapture cycle. He was in the cycle, the time of the rapture. And part of that cycle was filled with him walking with the Lord. And one day the Lord said, you know what? You're walking with me right now. Let's just keep walking. I don't see any reason for you to go back. So he was already in a rapture. He didn't go through the tribulation period, the flood time, as Noah and his group. He was taken from the earth before the tribulation set in. And the church says? Amen. So he had the rapture in him already. Friends, for instance, I don't need to walk into a tent at a certain event in the future to be in the rapture. What I have is in me already. The rapture is within you when you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. So nobody can put you out. Nobody can take that out of you. They can't boil it out of you. They can't shame it out of you. They can't run it out of you. They can't declare it out of you. If it's in you, it's in you. Hallelujah. And you need to get used to that thought. Again, in Lord, Show Us the Father, he says, don't resent that. That's the truth. The rapture is in us now. So he said that. He felt resentment coming back. He said, don't resent that. The rapture is in us now. I will prove it by the gospel. Those who he called, this is Paul speaking. Those who he called, he justified. Those who he justified, he hath glorified. Hallelujah. Then in heaven today, we are glorified in the presence of God right now. We're waiting for this part to catch up. You've already got a body waiting for you. Paul said so. We have bodies terrestrial and we have bodies celestial. He said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting already. Then in heaven today, we are glorified in the presence of God right now. The rapture is your glorification. In the heavenly places, you're already glorified. It's already a done deal. So what we're praying for and looking for and asking for is what is in heaven to be here. This whole journey is let what's there be here. Let me match what's there because what's there is me. What's there is my future. What's there is God's promise. What's there is my goal. What's there is my destination. What's there is my expected end. Let it be here. So the rapturing power has been in the church since Pentecost, since the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And those that went on before us, they have that resurrection in them now. And they await the sounding of the voice, but they aren't waiting for the life. They're alive right now. They're over there waiting to come back here to pick up bodies. How many knows that? We think, oh my, I can't wait to get over there, and that's the end of everything, and isn't that going to be wonderful? And they're over there saying, no, you're missing something. It will be a great thing for you when you get over there, but it ain't over until you come back here and pick up your body. I don't have to come back, though, if I'm living in the rapture cycle. I'm here. I just need to step into it at the right time. And the church says, so we need our faith to rise to the necessary level to where whatever it is that we have need of is released from within us. And you're getting so many practice runs for the change of the body. When you believe for your healing, when you believe for deliverance, when you believe for the salvation of your loved ones, when you believe, when you ask in faith, believing. We must do these things. We need our faith to rise to that necessary level so that whatever we have need of is released within us. We feed on the word daily. We drink of the waters of life. And then we push out. And at the end of the branch comes the fruit. So, friends, I'm going to push out of this body one day. I'm reminding this body. When it wants to do this and that, it's like, no, you're going to cooperate. You're going to listen to me. But one day, you and I are going to part. And I won't shed a tear. Right? You're going back into the ground. But one day, I'm going to leave you. But I'll take a little bit of you with me. Because some of the elements that make up my body right now will blend with my theophany. And that will be my glorified condition. I can't explain to you how that works. I just believe it. But I'm looking to unite with my theophany. Amen? I'm spending more time with my theophany every day. Because I'm hearing from my theophany every time I'm hearing the word. Every time the word is being revealed to me. Every time that I'm stimulated by that revelation that comes. It's that theophany that I'm hearing from. And the church says, so I'm going to push out of this body one time as I drink and push and drink and push. And I'm going to push out of this body into that other body. Now, we've heard terminology in our message concerning the rapture, and such as rapturing faith and rapturing grace. And many times people will say what he said without even closely saying what he said. Even though they're using the same words. Now that sounds like a big contradiction, right? But a parrot can say what you said and still not say what you said. A parrot can repeat the words without any understanding, without any application. A person can repeat words and have a completely different concept in their mind about what those words mean. So are you, it's when you say what somebody said, you're saying it with inspiration. You're saying it with the same spirit. You're saying it with the same revelation. You're saying what they said with the same understanding that is conveyed in what they said. So some would say that rapturing faith lies on the tapes. Well, so if I just say what he said and say rapturing faith lies on the tapes, just take that literally, then that means if I just play the tapes long enough, I'll eventually get that faith, right? This is not about listening to the tapes, though you need to listen to the tapes. You need to hear the word for your day, right? We believe that you need to listen to your message from your messenger under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But if rapturing faith lies on the tapes in a literal sense, Well, then the tape must be going in the rapture, right? And that would mean that the kinsman redeemer is a tape who's come down to redeem magnetic tapes. We feed on the word of this hour. And that word is the word for a rapture. And that word is what you're hearing that's on the tape. So rapturing faith is not laying on the magnetic tape. Are you listening? You say, well, it's ridiculous. Who would believe that? You'd be surprised. Rapturing faith does not lie on the tape. Rapturing faith is in your message, which is preached on that tape. But you have to have the Holy Ghost in you to hear that message. Otherwise, you're just saying what somebody said without revelation. Again, in the Message Absolute, he says, oh, I remember when he swept down there in that big light, standing yonder at the bottom of the river, 1933 in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth and forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ. And around the world she's went. When revival fires has been built for 15 years on nearly every mountain, divine healing across the nations and the power and restoration. And now I believe she's ready to strike that final climax yonder to bring forth a faith that'll rapture the church into glory. It's the truth. And she's laying in the messages. That's actually got a dual meaning to it. She's laying in the messages. She is her. And she's laying in the messages. But also, what's in that message is what you need for the rapture. Right? Now, what's laying in the message needs to lay in you. So you need to lay in the messages. Are you listening? I didn't know that it was going to coincide, the list that Andy had put. Of course, he told me ahead of time, but I hadn't put the two together when I was thinking on this thought. If you're not listening or feeding on the word of this hour, how is it that you're growing? Well, I go to church and what? Well, that's certainly a part of it. But if you're not feeding on it yourself, how do you even know it's true? Friends, you're not supposed to come to church and just trust the pastor that what he's teaching you is true. The Holy Ghost in you has to bear witness. And when you're feeding on it, that's where the amens come from so much of the time. You're feeding on it and something in you says, hey, amen. I already know that. That's already been revealed to me. What's in me agrees with what I'm hearing. And you know it's the same spirit. And it encourages you. And it brings a unity. And the church says. So we're not a bunch of parrots that are just hearing words that we're going to repeat. Right? We're sons and daughters of God that are feeding on that very same word. And it becomes real to us. And then it lives. It produces something. So without the new birth, a person can never see this. And let's just kick this horse one more time. A magnetic tape is not going in the rapture. But a soul that's magnetized to the word is going in the rapture. Again, in Israel and the church, he says, but God's just now loosening up the church everywhere. Getting in order now so he can get into the rapture, got to give it rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. Now, he was making all these statements before the opening of the word. Then the word came open. And then he wasn't saying any longer. I mean, it's in the word. Before it can go in the rapture, the people are in the spirit of the last days. Just like they was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, unconcerned, don't care, walk around, anything else. And these American people is the worst on the face of the earth. Heady, high-minded, incontinent, fierce, despisers, a know-it-all. If there's any place in the world with my Bible over my heart and God knowing, looking down on me, and know that I may have to stand before him before morning, if I had to say so, the place needs missionaries worse than any place in the world is the USA, the United States of America. The greatest bunch of heathens that I know anywhere is in America. Heathen means unbeliever. Religious? Yes. But do we believe the word? Again, in God talked to Moses. And I believe that the age has come now. The miraculous, the phenomenal, the baptism of the Spirit and power and signs and wonders. This great pouring out of God's Spirit in the last days. And that's the thing that'll bring faith into people, that'll take a rapturing faith, that'll take the church into glory. I believe it. So if that's what God has planned for the church, well, Satan wants a cold church so that there will be no rapture, so that the dead in Christ can't come forward because we which are alive and remain don't have faith for a rapture. They without us can't be made perfect. Instead, what we have is iridologists. You know, that's somebody that can study your iris and tell you, you know, you got a pancreatic problem and all that. I'm not making little of these things, but people are putting their faith. In fact, churches have invited people like this to come in. Iridologists, pedologists, you know, they're going to study your feet or whatever. Chiropractors. Ooh, that hurt. Well, go to him and he'll make it feel better. Friends, our faith is in God. Anytime I even mention this, I can just feel it. Oh, that's horrible. And why don't we go to God? Why don't we say, you're my source? Why don't you imagine that you're living in some other third world country and you don't have an iridologist to go to? Right? Why aren't we looking to him for our healing? If you need medicine, well, then take it. But look for that faith in you to rise. God is the only healer. Medicine doesn't heal you. God does. Don't rest in a God of history, but let the living God in you breathe in you and know him in the power of his resurrection. Call him on the scene. Say, God, I'm just taking you at your word as a child. I'm looking right at you, and I'm expecting, I need this. And now I'm expecting you to manifest it in my life. And God, I'm not going to move off of that. If I die, you'll find a bag of bones, and I'll tell you when I get to the other side. If I die, well, I took you at your word. But friends, you're not going to die. You take him at his word. He'll manifest his word. And the church says, so where is he? Wherever he is, there's supernatural. Where he is in you. As Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, in questions and answers, he says, there's your five wise virgins who had oil in their lamps, rapturing faith. Had oil in their lamps, rapturing faith. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's also a type of revelation because revelation comes by the Holy Spirit. Rapturing faith, believing all signs, wonders, prophecies, everything. And these five out of the remnant was taken away. And the rest of them were still virgins and will not be lost. Remember the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. But we'll go through the tribulation period, Jesus said. And they said, give us some of your oil. We want the Holy Ghost now. Now, anyone knows that the Holy Ghost, Zechariah 4 or James 5:14, knows that it represents the Holy Ghost. Now, that's the reason we anoint with oil, represent the Holy Ghost now, the oil of the Spirit, he says, the Bible says. So, we know that the bride of Jesus Christ, she was called wise before there was ever any mention of who had the Holy Ghost and who didn't have the Holy Ghost. And the wise virgin got the Holy Ghost because they were already wise before the foundation of the world. The wise virgin had oil, which contains within it rapturing faith. And it's the same faith, but it's supercharged. And we have to use our faith at times to contact God. But then there are times that his faith supercharges our faith and we get a super response. And the same faith that takes you through the depressing times of your life, so to speak, will also take you into a rapture. The faith that you live by is the faith that will take you out of here. He will push that faith and supercharge it one day. But it must be there to begin with, or there's nothing to work with. And the church says,
amen.
Hallelujah. Friends, in Wesley's day, the revelation was that God is going to sanctify you. He's going to clean you up and set you aside for service. The revelation in Luther's day was the just shall live by faith. That it's not kissing the toes off of statues, and it's not the Catholic Church that our salvation comes from, but we're justified by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. That revelation, every person, every elect seed of God in that age had that revelation. Every elect seed of God in the rapture age will have the revelation of the rapture. We'll have faith for a rapture. I feel like I'm in a jungle somewhere. We believe this? Again, in questions and answers, he says, we've got to have rapturing faith in a church that can be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to go out or will not go. But don't worry, it'll be there. It'll be there. He's seen it. It'll be there. It's not something God is trying to hide from you. It's not something that he's trying to make it hard to obtain. It's here. It's available. But you have to drink. In resume of the ages, he said, he is doing it as stated in verse 23, by the teaching or former rain, next will come the harvest rain or rapturing faith. Remember the scripture speaks about a former rain and a latter rain. The former rain is, when you plant a seed, the planting time is based on rain. You plant the seed in the time when there's going to be a lot of rain. The former rain is what quickens the seed. The latter rain comes later on, and it's that rain that brings forth the fruit. It's the rain that comes before the harvest time to bring that fruit to maturity. The plant drinks the rain, and then it pulls it up in itself until it gets to the seed, and the plant grows based on the rain that it's pulling up within it. Well, the rapture is the same way. The rapture is within you. We've had a teaching rain in which many were called out, but not all went into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, not all will have that rapturing faith. There will be many that have an intellectual faith. There will be people, friends, there will be people that will sound exactly like you. They will quote the very same things that you're quoting, and they'll say, I wholeheartedly agree with that and believe it, and yet there's no revelation. There's no life. So it looks like the real thing, but it isn't. There's no life there. And I believe it's at that time that they'll realize that they didn't have, because that's when they'll ask for it. When they realize, then they'll ask. We need some of that oil. Well, it'll be too late then. They'll go to get it, but the bride will go off into the rapture. Again, in the message, Perfect Faith, he says, so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, not hope, substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. If you're a new creature in Christ, you can never go back to what you ever were before. You can never fall away. You are a new creature. There now, you're getting into bride material. See? You're getting into rapturing condition now. When you're walking with the Lord, you're living by faith, you're walking with Him, You're isolated from the world. You're in the Enoch walk, in other words. You're walking with him daily. You're spending time with him daily. Friends, there's so much foolishness. There's so much wasted time. There's so much time that people are spent with this and that. And then I get to hear about how unhappy everybody is. Well, of course you're unhappy. You're not walking with him. There is no peace outside of him. There's no peace. How many knows that? How many's looked? Yeah, we looked here, we looked there. There is no peace outside of him. There's no rest outside of him. There's no true joy outside of him. Everything we have need of is in him. So if we're in a walk with him, we're in a walk with him. We're not just associated with this and then continuing to try to live the other life. But we're walking with him. And if you're walking with him, you're living a different kind of life. Because he's going to lead you to do different kinds of things. And you're looking for him every day in your life. I know it sounds hard when we, you know, talk about the herbs and the iridology and all that. But the whole point of that is that people put all their faith in that and none of it in him. They're looking for something out there to fix something in here when what you need to fix in here is in here already. He's already paid for it. He's already purchased it. It exists in heavenly places already. But you're wanting what's there to be here. Let what's in the vision be a manifestation. There now, you're getting into bride material, see? You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacons, trustees, that means for the laity, every individual, listen to this, every individual walks in a world with God alone. You know, if you're not walking with God, then that's why you'll say, I'm so alone. Well, you are alone if you aren't walking with God. But if you're living in a world alone and you're walking with God, you're not alone. You're just walking with God. But you're walking with God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom and there's nobody in there but you and God. That's what's taking place in your soul. There's not your best friend forever is not in your soul. Your best friend forever can't satisfy your soul. Your wife can't satisfy your soul. Your husband can't satisfy your soul. Only he can. Amen. There's nobody in there but you and God. He gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of a doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world that can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yes, he was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. And so is it now with those that have perfect faith. They are mystic to others. This is what we should be looking for in our lives. This is what we should recognize. This has already been described to us. This is what's supposed to take place. This is what will take place. This is describing somebody that goes in a rapture. They have perfect faith. Right? Well, how did they get that perfect faith? By walking with him. By feeding on the word daily. Come on, friends. You can do all your sports and you can do all your worldly things and do all this and do all that and have a grand time and go to church and get benefited. From the things of the Lord going to church and miss the rapture. Because you can live a good life and still not go in the rapture. But to go in the rapture, you've got to be walking with him. And if you're walking with him, you know it. It's not just, okay, you know, it's Wednesday night, I'll go do my duty. I really don't like it and I wish he'd hurry up. And I don't even know what he's talking about, but it's just, you know, it's Wednesday night. Or it's Sunday. No, if you're in a walk with him, you're feeding on what I'm preaching. You're looking for what's laying in this message to lay in you. You're looking for this to be lived out. Friends, it doesn't matter what other people do. In fact, you'll get to the place where you have no argument with other people about what this message is or what it isn't, because it doesn't matter to you. You are that message. And what you're living out is that message. You're convinced, you're sold out. There's not a shadow of a doubt. And you're feeding on it every day. And you're getting stronger every day. And you're getting closer every day. And that faith is going from faith to perfect faith. Which is the faith, it's God's faith living in you. What He reveals to you, that's perfect faith. And the church says, and it cannot fail, he says. Let's read that again. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world that can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. He was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. And so is it now with those that have perfect faith. They are mystics to others. In other words, people wonder, well, why do you do this? And why do you do that? And how come you won't do this or you won't do that? And your answer is, I don't know, because he's leading me to do this instead or that. And they'll say, well, explain it to me. And you'll say, I can't. All I know is he's leading me. And what he leads me to do, it works out. And if I go against this, I'm going to pay a price for it. I want to follow him. So we need to live by that word and walk by substance faith, because it's something that's real in you. It is substance faith. It's not theoretical, but it's something that's been released in you and it will manifest in your life. And that is the testimony that is produced by the word in your life. The body change won't be your first substance faith. That's what we're trying to get at here. You're going to experience that substance faith along the way. It's not just for some of us. It's for all of us. I know you believe this, but I'm going to hammer at it anyway, because we're living in a time when you just got to hammer at it. You are clothed in rapturing faith. You are clothed in rapturing grace. You have your rapture robe on right now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have your astronaut suit on, and that suit is pressurized. That suit is going through the testing of the things that you're going through in this life, and it's being proven in your life, and you are overcoming. It is pressurized to keep us from coming apart. The world's falling apart. You're not. Everybody's breaking down, falling apart, going this way, that way, breaking under the pressure, but you're not. It is a wedding garment that's taking us to our body change. You know, Elijah was taken in a rapture, right? He stepped into a fiery chariot. I'm wearing my flaming chariot. I'm not waiting for it to come. I'm in it. Do you see the difference? There was a fiery chariot that came down, picked him up, and took him away. It's here right now. I'm in a process called the rapture. That fire is here right now. And it's going to take me in a rapture. Don't wait for something. Don't look for something. Recognize you have it. Oh, it'll change your outlook. Hallelujah. One more quote, three kinds of believers. He says, that's the reason I do believe that when that bride is called and elected and set in the book of life, there will come a sound from heaven that'll take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that'll take her from the earth. So we know that there's a super anointing that's yet to come. But if you're not anointed now, it'll never come. It'll pass you right on by. We know that God is going to give us something more in terms of that anointing than what we have, because he's going to operate it. It isn't just, okay, Sister Baker decides it's time to go, see ya, and she's gone. And then I say, well, you know, if she's gone, why am I sticking around? Oh, see ya. But I got work to do, right? Daniel's not going to leave and then Brother Andy leave and then we're going to say, well, Adrian, he's more spiritual and so he left and, you know, the rest of us, we got to operate our rapturing faith. God will do it because only He knows the time. He only knows that. And He will do it. He will do it. Right? But it has to be in you. There has to be something to quicken. There has to be something to super anoint to put it into action. There will come a sound from heaven that will take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that it will take her from the earth, even in a rapturing grace. God promised it. Let's don't put that off into the future. We have a stimulating power within us now. A changing power that's in us now. You say, well, I'm not sure about it. Well, then start believing for your healing. Because God will prove that to you. Start believing for, I lost my keys, and God, show me where it's at. Start believing for, I mean, you name it. I mean, it's happening. Those things are happening already in the body routinely. But I think if we're not careful, we'll just look at them as routine things. They aren't. It's proving to you that what's in you is what's going to change your body. We're waiting, of course, on a supercharging that will take us out of this dimension and into another. We know that, but there must be something that's working in us right now. And you must know that. You must know that. You must know that. And you must not be lazy about it and say, oh, I'm going to put it all in the ministers. Well, I think Brother Andy and Brother Doug and whatever, and it's just wonderful what God's doing in your life, but what, you know, I could never have that. You're supposed to have that. That's the whole point. Right? We all should have this. It's here. It's available. Hallelujah. God will prove to you that it's in you. He'll prove it. He will demonstrate it. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Let's stand. We're not done. This is only part one. There's more. I just gave you a few quotes on it. We got more. This is your message. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He was taken up. In a rapture. Enoch is a type of the elect of God, of the bride of Christ, of the elect of all the ages. Taken in a rapture, didn't go through a tribulation. It's the hope of all the ages. It's the hope of the church. And you're privileged to be living in the age, the hour, when this could be the day. Now, you know, the Lord could take me home tomorrow, and then you could go in a body change. Those that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and I could come up in the resurrection. But if that's my lot, I'll just be asleep for a couple minutes and be caught right up with you, right? We don't know that. We can't say for sure, right? But I'm believing we're living in that time. I'm believing that time is, that there's nothing left to wait for. Right? There's nothing that we should run after out there that, oh, they got it over here or they got it over there. You have it. But you need to be drawing on it and pushing out and drawing on it and pushing out till it gets to the place where, friends, here's where it has to get to, because this is where it will get to, okay? This is where it will get to. This is what the vision tells us. It will get to the place where you know you're going in the rapture. Not you think, not you hope. That's not faith. What would rapturing faith be? It's a knowing. It's revealed to you. I'm going. Right? And nobody can take it from you. Nobody could talk you out. And you will go in it. And you won't be surprised when you get there. You won't, whoa, how'd I get here? You expect it. Because faith is substance. So you know that it's yours. So we need to be practicing this every day. We need to be practicing that faith every day, right? And it will build. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful that we're not living in a time where we're stumbling and bumping into things, walking in darkness. And we certainly know that we're not following cunningly devised fables, but Lord, we know that we know that we know because you prove it to us over and over again. We believe, and people will make they will make statements that sound so loyal. They'll make statements that, well, I don't have to have any proof, I believe. But Father, your desire is to prove. Your desire is to manifest. Now, on the one sense, we can relate to that. On the one sense, we can say, I believe without having to see any proof. But the other side of it is also true, that if we truly do believe, there will be a vindication. There will be proof that there will be manifestations. And with every manifestation, it will cause that faith to dig in deeper, to grow. It'll cause us to drink up just that much more and to push out. Because we're in a process. We're drinking and we're pushing out. We're drinking and we're pushing out. We're drinking and we're pushing out. And Lord, we want to be found doing that. We want to be found just drinking of your goodness, drinking of putting your word before us each and every day, meditating in your word day and night, taking your counsel in everything that we do, not standing in the seat of the scorner, not taking the counsel of ungodly men, not going the way of the world, but Lord, buried in you, drawing from the rivers of life that are flowing freely, drawing from your word, drawing from your goodness, your virtue, your very nature, your very character, drawing divine healing, drawing deliverance, drawing salvation, drawing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, eventually drawing a body change. Everything comes from you. And Lord, we are planted in you, and what you've planted in us and what you've quickened by the Spirit. Lord, you've supplied us with what we have need of, but we've got to drink and we've got to push out. Lord, if we've gotten distracted, if we've let our guard down, if we've been lulled into a false sense of security because it doesn't seem like a whole lot's going on, or maybe it seems like maybe we can look around and not maybe see somebody else pressing, and so maybe we feel like we don't need to do the same thing, but Lord, how do we know that there aren't others that are pressing right now? How do we know what's going on in each one another's prayer closets? How do we know what's going on in the home life? We come together, we meet here for a few hours each week, and we bring our licks of fire together, we fellowship together, we worship, we give testimonies, we bring prayer requests forward, but what about all the rest of the week? We're called to walk with you. And we're called to walk with you in a personal walk. And Lord, I trust that each and every one of us is doing that. If we aren't, may we be drawn into that kind of a walk with you, Lord, where we're spending the majority of our time walking with you. We can still be at work and walk with you. We can be out in traffic walking with you. We can be at the grocery store, but Lord, we're communing with you. You commanded us in your word. At one point you said, pray without ceasing. And we think, well, how can I? Prayer is some kind of position, and I got to hold my hands a certain way, and I got to be on my knees. But no, it's spending time talking things over with you, whether we're at work, no matter where we're at, we can be communing with you. We can be in prayer. You demonstrated it. There was a walk that was just focused on your will. Let thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but thy will. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would, Lord, be challenged by the message, challenged by the time that we're living. Lord, this thing could all be over before the night's over, or next week, or next month, or next year, or 20 years from now. We don't know. All we know is that we are in that cycle, and we know that there's something that is taking place right now. We know that what is needed for that rapture is within us if we're born again of your Spirit. But Lord, we also know that we need to be faithful and feeding every day from your word. Personally, not just we should come to church, we should draw from and benefit from the ministry. But Lord, we've got to have that personal walk as well. Each and every one of us, we've got to be looking for you, for the needs in our lives, and for you to lead us, to guide us, to be our all in all, to be our comfort when we need comfort, to be our encouragement, to give us wisdom when we need it, to understanding, whatever it might be. Each and every one of us needs to have that kind of a walk. And each and every one of us needs to be drawing from you, Lord, what it is that we have need of, and we need to be putting into practice what you've already given us, so that, Lord, it's just a natural step, that next step. It's just that final step. It's just something that's already been working in us along the way, but then you bring a super anointing, and that final phase, that final step takes place. Won't you grant it, Lord? I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray that if we need to step it up a notch, if we need to dedicate ourselves more fervently, Lord, if we need to cut out some foolishness in our lives, we're not talking about sin, we're not talking about carrying on with the world, but just not using the time that you've given us for the things that we should be using it for, Lord. Not pressing in. We shouldn't be an expectation for the church to bring a revival or for the church to do this or that. And that's where so much disappointment comes from, Lord. We know it's from people expecting from the church instead of expecting from you. You never disappoint, Lord. You always satisfy. In fact, you more than satisfy. I pray, oh God, that I know we're heading into a new year and we're not making new year resolutions, but may that unction, that looking for what's promised for our day, may it become even greater in our lives, Lord. We know one thing's for sure, we're closer than we've ever been. That is without, we can say that without any doubt. I pray, oh God, that you would anoint these thoughts, anoint your word. And Father, may the urgency or the sincerity, may it be in each and every one of our hearts, Lord, to possess what you've already made available, what you've already promised us, but may we take it into possession, Lord. Grant it, Father. We just love you and we thank you. We just so appreciate your goodness and your mercy and your love. And Lord, if this was all that there was, we would still be thankful and we would still rejoice because it's greater than anything we ever had in the world and anything that the world has to offer. But we know that there's so much more. And we're so thankful, Lord, to be included in your great plan. Now, Lord, may we just keep our focus, may we keep our eyes on the prize, on the mark, on the high calling. May we be looking for, Lord, the manifestation of that faith in our lives. Grant it, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The church says, amen. Satisfy your soul. Amen.